Three NDP MPs, Charlie Angus, Rachel Blaney, and Carol Hughes, have declared they will not seek re-election.
A city council meeting in British Columbia became chaotic over a controversial residential schools book published by True North, sparking calls for the mayor's resignation.
Aaron O'Toole attributes a conservative loss in the last election to the party's stance on vaccine mandates during the pandemic. Hello, Canada. It's Friday, April 5th, and this is the True North Daily Brief. I'm Cosmin Jirja.
And I'm William McBeth.
We've got you covered with all the news you need to know. Let's discuss the top stories of the day and the True North exclusives you won't hear anywhere else. Three NDP MPs have announced they are stepping back from politics. Charlie Angus, Rachel Blaney, and Carol Hughes said Thursday they would not be seeking re-election. Angus said he's passing the baton and won't be seeking another term. In a statement to the Globe and Mail, Angus said he will continue representing his Timmins James Bay riding until the next federal election. He also stated there is a need for new energy in politics. One political era is ending and another begins, Angus said. As part of this renewal, I've decided not to run for re-election. He sought the NDP leadership against Jagmeet Singh in 2017. He received 19.4% of the vote. He's currently the party's critic for natural resources and deputy critic for ethics and Crown Indigenous relations. News of Angus's departure from politics came as Conservatives are slightly leading the polls in the Timmins James Bay riding, according to 388 Canada. However, the boundaries will change in the federal election. Singh released a statement on Thursday in response to the MPs stepping away. On behalf of all new Democrats, I want to thank Rachel, Charlie, and Carol for their years of advocacy and dedication to serving working people, said Singh. News of Angus's departure from politics comes as Conservatives are slightly leading the polls in the Timmins James Bay riding, according to 338 Canada. However, the boundaries will change in the next federal election. I don't know about you, William, but I was a little bit surprised to see Angus announce he would not be running again. He was, after all, a veteran and one of the party's front-facing MPs, but in his statement, he seems sure that the Timmins James Bay riding will remain NDP come the next federal election. Is he right, William, or do the Conservatives have a shot at scooping up that seat?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say without knowing the detailed situation on the ground there, but I think it's pretty well established that there is a Conservative groundswell right across the country, and it's not unusual for when there's predicted to be a sea change election to see lots of people who are going to be on the bad side of that sea change getting off the ship rather than going down in defeat during the election itself. And maybe he thinks it's not worth staying in Parliament if the New Democrats and the Liberals both lose a substantial number of seats and there's a strong Conservative majority. Maybe he thinks that isn't a great place for him to be. So I don't think it's unusual. Whether or not the NDP will hold on to the seat, it might depend on what happens between now and Election Day. But the sign that so many Liberals and New Democrat MPs are saying they aren't going to offer for re-election, that's generally a sign that they think their parties might be in trouble.
Yeah, and he's held that seat for a very long time. But I've found with Angus that over the past few years, he's become a bit more radical. Some of the statements he's made are some of the most extreme within the NDP caucus. Like, for example, in February, you will recall that he proposed a law that would jail people for promoting the oil and gas industry. Do you think this might have something to do with it? And will they replace somebody who is a bit more tempered, or do you expect it to just be the same old or perhaps even more radical?
Yeah, I mean, it's also possible that his decision to announce his retirement has been in the works for some time. He may be making statements now that position him for his next job. Maybe he's looking to work for an environmental group or something involving the United Nations, organizations where having really aggressive or out there policy and policy statements is seen as a good thing, as opposed to going back in front of your voters and asking them to send you back. He may be being bolder just in an attempt to think about not his current job, but what his next job might be. A British Columbia City Council meeting erupted in chaos as debates over a controversial book on residential schools led to heated exchanges and calls for the mayor's resignation. The book at the center of the controversy, Grave Error, How the Media Misled Us and the Truth About Residential Schools, sparked a widespread backlash from some in the BC city of Quesnel, particularly among council members and Indigenous groups. True North is the publisher of the collection of essays. The controversy began when Pat Morton, the wife of Mayor Ron Paul, distributed 10 copies of the book, which has stirred controversy over its critical analysis of certain claims about residential schools in Canada, specifically those regarding purported unmarked grave discoveries. The distribution led to a packed city council meeting, where supporters and opponents of the book voiced their concerns. During the meeting, some attendees, many wearing traditional Indigenous attire, jeered at speakers defending the book, including Morton and Professor Francis Widdowson, one of Grave Error's several contributors. Widdowson faced significant opposition when she questioned the council's stance on misinformation, specifically regarding claims of unmarked graves at the Kamloops Indian Residential School, which were spread by the media but have never been verified. When it was Widdowson's turn to speak, members of the gallery jeered the professor and author. In response, councillors Lori Ann Rudenberg and Scott Elliott said Widdowson's queries and opinions were unwelcome because she didn't have lived experience as an Indigenous person. So, Cosmin, True North published this book just before Christmas. It's sold thousands of copies right across the country. And one of the suggestions that's been raised a few times is maybe this city council and some of the people so opposed to the book haven't actually read it. Because if you read Grave Error, you'd know that there is no residential schools denialism in it. It doesn't deny residential schools exist. It calls into question the narrative around unmarked graves, which has never been put to rest through verifying if those graves actually contain the bodies of missing children. So I understand you actually watched this council meeting. Did it seem like this was more a case of people being upset about anyone questioning the official narrative rather than what was specifically contained in the book?
Oh, absolutely. I suspect a vast majority of the people in that council room did not actually read Grave Error. It's astounding, especially for these city council members who should be informed about the issues they're talking about, but they called it denialism, as if the book was denying the existence of residential schools and the abuses that happen there. But that's simply not the case. It's just a critical analysis of some of the claims that were recently spread by media and politicians about these discoveries. So watching this meeting, it was quite astounding for people who claim to be on the side of inclusion. The way they treated these two speakers, specifically Frances Widdowson, was abhorrent. They said her opinion doesn't matter. She's not welcome here. She's not allowed to ask questions. So it's a total contradiction of these values they claim to represent.
Yeah, you pull up an important point there that they seem to say that because she isn't Indigenous, nothing she says has any value. And I would say, well, I think it doesn't matter completely what your ancestry is. It's, have you done research? Have you put together facts? Have you come to logical conclusions? And certainly if you've done all of the homework and the research and put together a well-researched, well-documented, fact-based book, I would think a lot of people would be interested in her opinion on it and indeed what's in the book. So do you think we've now reached the point, though, where if you aren't buying into the narrative that Canada is a colonial and genocidal country and we're all to blame for that, do you ever try and push back on that? Are you greeted with nothing but hostility from those who seem to think that this is the narrative that should be governing our country and our entire history, really?
Well, absolutely. And it's also a false premise, because even if you were indigenous, and there are people out there who question some of these discoveries that are come from First Nations backgrounds, even in that case, they would discredit you somehow. They would say, you don't know what you're talking about. They would say, oh, you're just playing the other side. It's ridiculous. And I don't think the truth matters. A lot of people have been married to falsehoods, and they're not willing to abandon these falsehoods because it will bring a whole sort of other things into question for them. The Conservatives lost the last federal election by being on the wrong side of public opinion on the vaccine mandate issue, former leader Aaron O'Toole says. In an appearance before the Public Inquiry into Foreign Interference, O'Toole, who led the Conservatives in the 2021 election, attributed his loss to the mandate debate. O'Toole told the commission that Justin Trudeau called the election because the Conservatives' position on mandates was unpopular. The Conservative position in August 2021, when the last election was called, was that the COVID-19 vaccines should not be mandated for public transportation. Instead, unvaccinated people should have been required to show a recent negative test result or pass a rapid test to be able to board a bus, train, plane, or ship. O'Toole encouraged vaccination while also accusing the Liberals of politicizing the issue. When you consider it was a pandemic election, we were largely on the wrong side of public opinion on the vaccine mandate issue, O'Toole said. He said his team saw the vote changing largely due to that single issue. At the time of the election, O'Toole also faced criticism from within the party for flip-flopping on key issues, including the carbon tax, gun bans, and defunding the CBC. O'Toole's 2021 campaign manager did not respond to a request for comment. William, are you buying what O'Toole is saying here? Did he really lose because they opposed vaccine mandates, or was it something else entirely?
Well, this isn't uncommon to see a leader who was unsuccessful in election try and shape the narrative a little bit so that his own actions are maybe a bit less to blame, and it's these larger forces that were unsuccessful. But I'll be honest, I don't believe that this was the principal cause of Aaron O'Toole's defeat in the 2021 election. I think, as you mentioned in that story there, a lot of people became kind of disenchanted with Aaron O'Toole when he seemed to be abandoning some core policies in an attempt to win, quote-unquote, centrist voters. An axiom of politics we always say is, you know, if you've got one party that authentically believes something and another party that only pretends to believe it in order to try and win an election, so if you've got a Liberal Party who genuinely believes where it stands on issues like the gun grab and the carbon tax and supporting the CBC, and then another party that pretends to believe those things, voters are going to vote for the authentic one. They're going to vote for the authentic Liberal Party, not the Liberal Light Party, if they're going to vote that way at all. So I think he might be trying to rewrite history there, make himself look a little bit better. It's hard to almost think back, though, to a time when the Liberals were competitive, given how unpopular they've become now. So, Either Aaron O'Toole is to blame, or Pierre Poilievre just is incredibly gifted. But I think it's probably more that Aaron O'Toole's decision to abandon core policy and Pierre's decision to hold key and hold firm on core policy are why their popularity tracks seem to have diverged so much.
That's it for today, folks. Make sure to check in at www.tnc.news throughout the day for all the news you need to know. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to share our work with your friends and neighbors. And if able, please consider supporting independent media at donate.tnc.news.